Hey yo, and welcome to the Badass is the New Skinny podcast. I'm Sabrina, here to chat with you about what it takes to look and feel like a badass. Fun fact, it's not about 1200 calorie diets and workouts you hate. Nope. Instead, we'll talk about lifestyle habits, mindset, and attitude around sleep, stress management, nutrition, and movement, all dumped in a great big bucket of self-awareness and personal growth. Each week, I'll give you strategies and actions that you can apply directly into your day-to-day life so that you're making sustainable changes over time. So if you're ready to get your shit together, for reals this time, put on your sassy pants and get comfy. Let's do this. What's up, my friends? I hope you're doing well. And I know this is going to sound a little weird, but I hope you know that when I say, I hope you're doing well, that I really mean that. And at the same time, I want to acknowledge that many of you may be struggling because life has a habit of being a dumpster fire. I'm not trying to be negative. That's just life. And if you're in a position where you're not doing well, I hope you're at least well supported and you're on a path to be in a better situation or in better circumstances. There are a couple of reasons why I really want to focus on this right now. The first is that lately, I have not been doing well. It's been a shitstorm of fear, sadness, loneliness, frustration, futility, and helplessness. You want to know how I've been supporting my wellness through all that? Microwave burritos are just not eating, soda, cookies, crying, then immediately shutting down my emotions, watching crap TV, avoiding things that bring me joy, sleeping, going off script, and by off script I mean throwing my routines to the wind and just totally winging it. Basically, I've been doing all of the things that you quote-unquote shouldn't do to live a healthy and well lifestyle. And this brings me to the second reason why I want to focus on the not well times. Because when it comes to all the health and wellness advice, all the fucking diet culture BS, no one really seems to address what to do when life gets real. No one really tells you how to flex your habits and choices to bend, move, and dodge with you as you're being pummeled with flaming piles of poo. No one really seems to give you the tools for how to make good choices when you're so scared that you battle a constant feeling of low-grade nausea, and if you have a moment to yourself at all you can really seem to do is to sit and stare at a wall and maybe drool a little. These are the moments that throw a lot of people off track when it comes to their health and wellness goals and can cause them to give up on the progress they've made with their habit overhauls. They've failed when life got real. I'll talk at some point about the problem that I have with the word fail, but that's not what this conversation is about. This conversation is about the problem I have with wellness and lifestyle advice. I actually have two problems with this, but today I'm just going to address one of them. Typical wellness and lifestyle advice doesn't provide shit for guidance for what to do when life gets real and you're in crisis mode. The second problem that I have with generic health and wellness and lifestyle advice, which I'll talk about next week, is that typical wellness and lifestyle advice doesn't teach concepts from the perspective of how to make something work for you. People are given cookie-cutter advice and then thrown into the deep end of the pool with no real support for how to make those concepts work with their particular lifestyle. So stay tuned for that conversation. For today, though, let's focus on crisis mode. Think about it like this. Health, wellness, and lifestyle advice, tips, guidance, and whatever else is really based on an ideal state. Like here, do all of these things and assume that there's nothing in your life that would ever throw you off your perfectly laid plans. This kind of advice doesn't really serve you when life gets real. Now, I know that a lot of the time I bury the lead and I go through my whole spiel and give you some of the best nuggets either at the end of the podcast or sprinkled throughout, but if you're in crisis right now, then you really need me to get to the main point. So here it is. It is okay. In fact, it's totally fine and even extremely normal if you don't give a fuck about the ideal health and wellness habits when you're in crisis mode. So if you're coming to this conversation thinking that I'm going to tell you how to keep your shit together and on point when it comes to your health and wellness habits when you're in crisis, that's not what's going to happen here. This is me giving you the explicit permission that, to be clear, you never needed, to not fucking worry about staying quote-unquote on track while you're in crisis mode. If this is something that you've allowed to stress you out before, take a deep breath and think about that for a second. It might seem like I'm being a little bit dramatic about this because if you're not currently working on a great big health goal and if you're not in crisis right now, you might be like, wow, this is kind of pointless. But here's where I want to acknowledge a couple of things. The first thing is that when you have a great big health goal and when you're finally taking the time to achieve that goal in a sustainable way, there's fear associated with that. The fear is really real. And like anything else, I'm not going to say that this is true for 100% of people, but hear me out. Most of the people I work with on their health and wellness goals are trying to lose weight. Most of the people who are trying to lose weight have tried a lot of things to achieve this goal. They've tried the fad diets, the cleanses, the groups, the challenges, the calorie counting, the excessive exercise, or some variation thereof. They've been not only on the scale weight roller coaster, but they've been on the emotional roller coaster. The ups and downs of successes and failures, the ecstatic feeling of being able to button their goal weight jeans one day, and the absolute devastation from not being able to slide those same jeans over their hips a week later. These are very emotional experiences, and for some people, this has been going on for years, maybe even most of their life. When I work with people, I try to make it clear that progress will be slow because the idea is to create a lifestyle. We'll work toward the goal, absolutely, but there are no promises of losing 15 pounds in 3 weeks or losing some abstract amount of belly fat or other bullshit like that. Creating a healthy lifestyle is not just about habits, it's about the mindset. So when a crisis hits and you've been making this intentional effort to make slow, sustainable progress, and all of a sudden you find yourself having Pop-Tarts and Diet Coke for breakfast, having not showered or put on makeup, barely getting a brush through your hair, the fear is so very real that you've lost control, that all your hard work has gone out the window, and once again you have failed, and once again you've shown yourself that you're just doomed to be overweight and feeling stuck in this body that feels foreign to you, this body that has betrayed you. And as if that wasn't enough, that's just the icing on the crisis cake, because let's not forget, this conversation is about a healthy lifestyle while you're in crisis, or lack thereof. So while someone is having this internal meltdown over losing track of their health and wellness goals, their external world is also melting down and it becomes too much to handle. If you're not currently in crisis mode, this is actually the best time for you to hear this message because you have the mental and emotional capacity to think through this and apply logic to it before your body goes into fight or flight mode. If you're currently in crisis mode, again, take another deep breath, because I'd be willing to bet you're having moments where you're holding your breath and not realizing it, and absorb as much of this as you can. Consider coming back to this episode later as well if it would be helpful for you. Okay, so I said that when you're in crisis mode, it's okay to let things slide, to not worry about your health and wellness goals, to not stress about the routines and the lifestyle and all of those things. And that's all true, because honestly, there's really only so many important things that you can handle at any given moment. And when you're in crisis mode, your priorities are going to be different than when you're just in normal day-to-day mode. What I want to call out here is that this is not me telling you to throw all self-control to the wind. In fact, there are a few lessons or takeaways that I'd like you to get from this. Before I do that, though, let me quickly define what I'm talking about when I refer to a crisis. When I say crisis, I'm referring to those moments that are far above and beyond your normal day-to-day. Crises are the things that have the power to significantly impact your life, potentially changing the direction of it entirely, which might not actually be a bad thing in the long run, but the experience in the moment could still be a crisis. Crises also tend to be the things that happen outside of our control. These are the things that are happening to us. This won't always be the case. Sometimes your actions might be the spark that light the kindling, but in large part, the crisis originates from something not totally within your control. A crisis can be brief or lengthy. It doesn't discriminate. Some examples could include having to evacuate your home because of a natural disaster, sustaining an injury that impedes your ability to perform daily activities, losing a close friend or family member, losing your job, suffering from a miscarriage, or separating from your spouse unexpectedly. Now, of course, these statements are not a textbook definition, but I wanted to give you some context of what I'm referring to and where I'm coming from when I say crisis. So with that in mind, here are some things I encourage you to keep in mind when you're in crisis, regardless of what that crisis is. First, in these moments, give yourself grace. When it comes to crises, because of the state of fight or flight, we may not do things the way we think we should, or we may forget to do things that we normally wouldn't forget. Maybe you forget to wish your sister a happy birthday, or take your dog to the groomer, or pick up deodorant at the store on your way home. And because you're in crisis mode, these things that truly aren't big deals could feel like big fucking deals. The same can be said if you miss your workout class, don't meditate before going to bed, or skip your walk after dinner. Give yourself grace and don't beat yourself up for these things. And that's not just for when you're in crisis, this actually works pretty much anytime. You're human and life is messy. Things will be missed sometimes, and that's okay. When you're in crisis, that's an especially important time to give yourself that grace and be kind to yourself. Number two, accept that you have different priorities. I know that I just mentioned this, but I think it's important to call out again because so many people struggle with the battle of the priorities, and in trying to juggle that, they beat themselves up the entire time. They end up thinking about all of the things they quote-unquote should do rather than allowing themselves to be in the moment and act and behave in a way that is going to support the needs of that crisis. In the last few weeks, my priorities have looked totally different than my normal day-to-day. Work was just enough of a priority to keep things moving. Makeup was only if I had to or if it was intentionally to make myself feel better. Meals were sometimes cookies and Diet Coke. My walks with Bella were kept short, just enough to keep her moving. And all things business got put on pause. It was pure luck that I had podcast episodes done and scheduled before shit hit the fan in my world. Otherwise, it just wouldn't have happened. It wasn't a priority, and that's okay. When considering your priorities, really question what's truly urgent and what's truly critical. My work is important. A lot of people depend on me. But you know what? There's a motto in my department that I think applies a lot more broadly than we allow ourselves to believe, and that's, there's no such thing as a wellness emergency. I work in wellness, so that makes sense. This might be scary to you if your job is a focal point in your life and you need to feel important and critical to the overall operation. But you know what? My opinion? We vastly overestimate how critical our jobs are. And if everything were to completely fall apart on me because I spent a week in the hospital with a family member, then that is more of a reflection on the organization and systems than it is on me. Just food for thought. I'd be willing to bet that there's some truth for that in your life, in your job as well. Number three, use crises as an opportunity to observe your behaviors and withhold judgment. We can talk until we're blue in the face about how we'll react in certain situations, but we never really know until we're in that particular situation. So when you're in crisis, observe your behaviors as you go. Now you might be thinking, what the fuck, Sabrina? My brain is going to be solely focused on one crisis and getting through that. How should I expect myself to observe my behaviors? And you know what? Sometimes that's fair. Sometimes the crisis is significant enough that you're only going to be able to react, and it's largely driven by self-preservation. I'll jump on board with that. In those instances, I encourage you to take some time to decompress and reflect when you do finally have a quiet moment. Reflect, but don't judge. Don't sit there and think, oh, I really fucked this up, or I shouldn't have done that. I should have said this instead. I totally forgot to do this. None of that is the point of you observing your behaviors. The point is to take a moment to acknowledge your natural reactions in those instances. Then there's going to be the kinds of crisis like what I experienced. The kind where the emotions are high but the events are slow. Where you feel like you're spending more time going backward at a snail's pace than actually moving forward with anything. Hospitals, I'll tell ya. With this being the case for me, I had a lot of opportunities to really reflect on my behaviors as I was acting them out. I observed my loss of appetite, followed by sustaining myself on hospital brownies and soda. I observed my total inability to engage in my life when I was at home, and how all I could do was sit and stare. I observed how in these moments of high prolonged stress, my instinct was to sleep. At no point am I going to say my behaviors were wrong. They weren't wrong. It was all about how I coped with that situation in front of me. The information is valuable because now that I know that, then next time I find myself in crisis, I can assure myself that it's okay, this is just my crisis behavior, and this doesn't reflect the typical healthy lifestyle that I live. It also tells me that when I'm in crisis mode, it's going to be in my best interest to prioritize bringing a water bottle with me. I can still allow myself the soda and sugar, sure, but it won't take much more effort to balance that out with water and maybe an apple. Am I going to stress about pairing that apple with some sort of protein? I doubt it. That would be a weird priority for me when I'm in crisis mode. The point is, what you observe can be really valuable information to help you figure out if there are things you can be working on in normal day-to-day mode that will support you when you do inevitably find yourself in crisis again. Would it help to have healthy snacks on hand and packed up so that if you need to be away from home unexpectedly, you can just grab them and go? How can you prepare yourself to support yourself better in a time of crisis? 4, identify and hold on to things that you have control over. The problem with pretty much any crisis is that there is a lot that you have absolutely zero control over, whether that crisis is recovering from an illness or injury, having experienced a natural disaster, or grieving a significant loss. There are so many factors at play that are just outside of your control. Honestly, this is the part of a crisis that pisses me off the most. In the last few weeks, when I've really been going through shit, this was the thing that made me angry cry. In so many instances, there was nothing I could do but wait. Honestly, this was one of the primary learning experiences for me because I hadn't recognized that in myself before. I didn't recognize that so much of my struggle was the result of feeling completely helpless. So in these moments, as best you can, identify the things that you have control over. You have control over your words, how you choose to show up for yourself, and how you behave throughout the crisis. And then empower yourself to make those choices. Lean into the things that you have control over. I know it won't feel like much, and fuck, sometimes it'll feel like you don't have control over any of it. But open your mind to observing the situation as best you can to identify what you do have control over. For me, that control to some extent was over crying. I would have moments where I could feel myself starting to break down. I knew I needed to let go and just cry. I knew it. I knew I did. But I also knew that I needed to be strong for the people I was showing up for. So I waited, and I held it for those moments when I could be alone with my feelings. I want to acknowledge here that I didn't suppress them. At least, not entirely. I don't believe in suppressing your feelings. I believe in letting yourself feel the feels. My personal opinion is that it's okay to hold on to those feelings for when you feel safe to let it out. It's like I said in a previous podcast episode. Cope, don't bury. Burying your feelings helps no one, especially not you. So anyway, observe the things that you have control over and allow yourself to exercise control over those things. Even if they're small, the wins still count. And when you're in crisis, you need all the little wins you can get. 5, when the crisis is over, dive back in and know that it's okay if you've lost progress. That's life. In the fitness world, it's referred to as deconditioning. And I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've had to work my way back up because a crisis has knocked me off my fitness course and I found myself deconditioned. Try not to get in your head about this. If you break your leg or tear your ACL and you are out of commission for a while and your whole fitness routine is thrown off, you're not going to be able to perform at the same level as you did before. That's to be expected, and it's not a reason to give up on yourself. Here's where I want to take a moment to remind you that a health and wellness journey is never linear, and anyone who tells you that it is lying to you. These journeys are learning experiences, and with those learning experiences, there are ups and downs. I'm not going to say successes and failures because I'm one of those annoying people who believes that failures are still successes because they give you valuable information, but that's beside the point. So when you're coming out of a crisis and you dive back in and you discover that you've gone backward, that's to be expected and that's okay. Pick up from there and continue to move forward. And I say continue, not start over. You're not starting over. Your body remembers more than you think it does, and you will recover from the interruption more quickly than you think. 6, understand when a crisis interrupts your progress, it's just that, an interruption, not a failure. You're not starting over when the crisis is over. You're picking up where you left off. What's even better is that after coming out of a crisis, you have this fresh information about your actions and reactions that can help you better identify what you need the most. Maybe you learned that while you've been focusing a lot on nutrition, that you could actually be focusing a little bit more intentional effort on managing your stress, particularly around bedtime, so that you can sleep better. These are all moments and experiences that build on each other. Your journey is not a Jenga tower, and a crisis is not the wrong block being pulled from the tower and the whole thing collapsing in a big loud mess. So when the crisis is over and you're recovering, remind yourself that this was not a normal circumstance. When you're in your day-to-day, you know what you're doing and you're in a better position to make the choices that are going to help you look and feel your best. And hey, if you're able to do that while you're in mid-crisis too, more power to you. I will always encourage you to do as much as you can to support your overall well-being when you're in crisis so that you can feel as good as possible under the circumstances. And I'm also going to remind you that a crisis is not the norm, and you got this. Okay, so those are the tips for you, the thoughts that I had for you, and at this point, I'm not going to try and tell you the right way to handle or conduct yourself in a time of crisis. The only thing I'm going to do at this point is encourage you to be gentle in the way that you treat yourself during and after a crisis, and always do your best to make decisions that are going to help you feel your best throughout. And the things that help you feel your best throughout a crisis might look very different from the things you do to help you feel your best on a typical day-to-day basis. Okay, so to continue this conversation next week, we're going to talk more about how to make cookie cutter health, wellness, and lifestyle advice work for you on the day-to-day basis. Under normal circumstances, it probably would have been better for me to start with this, but you know what? I'm still sort of in a low-grade crisis, so it's sort of the eye of the hurricane, I'm guessing. With that in mind, this just seemed like a more relevant place to start, and hopefully it was still helpful. It feels like since 2020, crises are the norm, and I want you to feel as empowered as possible as you work through crises or just overall hard days. Because while I talked about these things from a bigger perspective, a bad day can create some of the same challenges as a crisis. So again, whether it's a crisis or a bad day, health and wellness journeys are not linear, and every day is an opportunity to learn more about ourselves and identify ways we can better prepare ourselves to be kind and support ourselves so we can feel our best, whatever that may look like when shit really sucks. Alrighty, my friends, that's all I have for you today. I know it was a little on the gloomy side. It was maybe a little bit Eeyore for you, but I want to try and keep things real for you and give you information that is going to help you under real circumstances and not just on good days. I hope that this was helpful, and more importantly, I hope that you do something today that makes you smile. If you can get a good belly laugh, that's even better. And if you're having a hard time right now, my thoughts are with you. Remember that the situation is temporary and you'll get through it. Have a great rest of your day, my friend, and I'll catch up with you next time. Later. Many thanks for joining me for another episode of the Badass is the New Skinny podcast. I hope today's chat gave you some things to noodle on and that you're walking away feeling inspired and empowered to live a badass life. If you enjoyed today's conversation, please snag a screenshot of this episode and post it on Instagram, tag a friend or two, and tag me at sa.brina.brina. That's sa.brina.brina. And include the hashtag #BadassIsTheNewSkinny. If you could also drop me a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to your podcasts, it would mean the world to me. For more of the good stuff, head on over to my website at sabrinabrina.com. Catch you next time. Later.